Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop on what is absolutely an awful day outside. It's cold, it's raw, it's, thank God it's not snow, but that's because we live here in the South. Reminds me of the weather I left 40 years ago to come down here where it's always supposed to be sunshine. I hate days like this. I hate them. You're listening to Straight Talk, of course, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And guess who is with us today? A lady who I have not seen in a couple of years, not because we haven't liked each other, it's just our paths haven't crossed. Her name is Shay Hoffman. Shay is with Piedmont Medical Center. She is their diabetes educator. Is that the right way to put it?
Correct. Absolutely.
All right. So before we get into this,
yes,
I want you to tell everybody a little bit about Shay Hoffman.
So I'm Shay.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm Shay. I live in Indyland. I've been working at Piedmont for about 11 years, and I love my job and meeting people and seeing how I can help.
We were just talking about, this has nothing to do with diabetes, we're just talking about the daily commute from Indyland to Rock Hill.
Correct.
Is that not a whole bunch of fun?
It's wonderful, especially on days like today.
She was updating me on the road construction progress,
yes,
the Pennies for Progress project to widen 160 from two lanes,
yes,
to four or five lanes, whatever,
yes,
it is. And it's got a long way to go, you said.
It still has a long way to go.
So it's just bumper to bumper for you both ways, day and night.
Day and night, yes.
So absolutely. How long does it take you to get here?
It can range from anywhere from 30 minutes to a full hour, depending on traffic,
God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
So is there a magic time to leave in the morning?
No. Sometimes before 7, it's a little bit better, but, yeah. And once you hit that 7 o'clock, and then the school traffic gets in there, so it backs up very quickly.
Oh, and what about going home?
Going home is usually worse.
Oh, my. Well, good for you. So you've had various roles at Piedmont Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
Started out, what'd you tell me, in orthopedics?
In orthopedics. Worked on the floor for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And then you got involved with this diabetes.
And I got involved with diabetes. I've been doing diabetes for 6 years.
All right. And that's how you and I first met, because we used to do a program series with Piedmont called Focus on Your Health, where,
yes,
we talked routinely about diabetes. Well, how can we... I don't know whether you can put enough superlatives on this, but diabetes is, the last time I heard, is right up there with heart disease in terms of being one of the major killers for people here in the United States. True or false?
True, because it can affect so many different things. It's a very complicated disease. It's very individualized. Everybody's diabetes is different, so it can be very challenging to control sometimes.
All right, so let's go with some basics, Shay. How do we, what really is diabetes for people who don't understand this?
So diabetes is just high sugars in your blood. So what happens is your pancreas releases a hormone called insulin. Insulin's job is to go to each of your cells, open them up like a key to let sugar in to give you energy. So sometimes your pancreas doesn't produce enough of that insulin, or your cells are resistant, so the insulin can't open them, so you have extra sugar floating around your blood. And there's several different types of diabetes, and depending on your type, that depends on how you manage it.
All right, so the types would be?
Types would be type 1. That is whenever your insulin does not produce insulin at all, and they will have to be on insulin for the rest of their lives. It can be diagnosed at any age. Type 2 is more insulin resistance, so lifestyle changes, medications, sometimes insulin, and then gestational is diabetes whenever you're pregnant, and then pre-diabetes is when your sugars are higher than normal but not high enough to actually be considered diabetic yet.
Golly, damn. Yeah.
And a few more miscellaneous ones in there, too.
It's all right. That's enough. And when you take a look at, I don't know, the general percentage of the population, what percent would you say is afflicted with one type of diabetes or the other?
So here in the South, type 2 is the most prevalent, and I'm going to say probably, one in eight people have diabetes. 30 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. It's just unfortunately that obesity rates and diabetic rates have gone up within the last 10 years significantly in this southern region.
So the fact that you would be prone to have diabetes would be a heredity thing? I mean,
family history plays a part. Overweight, if you're over 40, sedentary lifestyle, all those play a part in you having diabetes. So if you have a family history or have any of those other things, then they recommend that you get screened at least every 3 years.
Ah. So how would one even know that this was churning in their system? Is diabetes a silent killer?
It can be, because some people don't get symptoms until their sugars are very high. So if you're feeling very thirsty, having to urinate a lot, any blurry vision, those are all signs of a high blood sugar. So definitely get to your primary care doctor and get screened. They'll do a finger prick, fasting. If it's over 126, that's indicative of diabetes. And then they'll do what's called an A1C. It gives us a 3-month average of your blood sugar. So anything above 6.5% is considered diabetic.
All right, so let's assume that somebody has the symptoms you talked about, some blurred vision, they're thirsty, whatever, and they basically don't do anything about it, just ignore it. It will finally reach a point where they'll say, I got to go see a doctor?
Yes, because those symptoms get worse and worse, and then that can lead to more problems. So then they might end up in the hospital for heart conditions, kidney problems. They're at high risk for strokes, heart attacks, amputations. So diabetes can lead to more complications because it affects every organ in your body.
Jeez, wow. So it can lead to a lot more than just the simple thing that you're experiencing right at this point.
Absolutely. And then that can happen within, a year or two. So the more that you have those symptoms, don't put it off. Always get to your doctor right away and get tested. And then, with a little bit of lifestyle changes, you might be able to not have to take any medications, depending on how high your levels are.
How would I say this? You would think that most people who took care of their health at all would go to a doctor periodically, right? Mm-hmm. And normally when you go to a doctor for a thing called a physical exam, mm-hmm. they take blood work, right?
Correct.
Blood work is going to show right off the bat where you are on this, correct?
Yes. So there will be a blood sugar, a glucose number in there, yes.
All right. So if you get the report that you are whatever, diabetic, pre-diabetic, what I need you to do is to take me through the various types of treatment for the various types of diabetics. Let's start with pre-diabetes.
Pre-diabetes.
Right? Right.
So that's going to be lifestyle changes, diet, and exercise. Those are the two biggest things. So even people with type 1 or type 2, they still need to do those lifestyle changes because overall management of the diabetes includes those things. So that's going to be lots of vegetables, lean meats, a little bit of carbs, staying away from sugared beverages, concentrated sugars.
No, you can't. No cookies, no cake for Christmas.
I mean, you could have, but you just want to balance it out a little bit better.
So, when you say balance it out, mm-hmm. how exactly, again, talking about somebody who's in this, what you call pre-diabetic stage.
Yes.
You're just leaving it up to me to say, may not be the right thing to do. You're going to leave it up to me to say how much of stuff I'm going to have with sugar during the course of the week? Or are you going to say you can have one cookie a week, you can have, one diet soda a week or whatever?
So moderation is key, okay? You want to drink lots of water. Water helps flush out those extra sugars. If at the holidays you want something sweet, you can still have things that you like. Just because you have diabetes, you can still have things that you enjoy. We just balance them out more. So if you're going out to have a holiday meal, you want to have a dessert. You have a lean meat, so baked chicken, turkey, fish. You have some vegetables, so, you know, green beans, broccoli, cauliflower, carrots. Instead of having a baked potato or something starchy with that meal, you would take that away. Your dessert would be your carb. So that's going to be your sugar. You can have that closer to your protein source. The protein helps slow down the digestion of the sugars in the carbs to keep your sugars more balanced, more steady. If you're someone that likes something salty and fried instead of something sweet, so if you want a piece of fried chicken or fried fish, one piece is going to be about 30 grams of carbs. So that would be your carb content. That's what's going to make your sugars go up, is that breading on it. Instead of having, again, a starchy side, you do vegetables with it. So it's about a balance and moderation, because those vegetables aren't really going to affect the blood sugars. The meats generally don't affect the blood sugars unless it's breaded or has barbecue sauce or ketchup. And then you want lots of water to drink with it.
Oh, God,
yeah, you can still have some diet sodas, but... Yeah. It's trying to decide what affects your blood sugars the most, because people respond to meds differently, so people respond to foods differently. So it makes one person's go up might not affect yours, and vice versa.
So to make somebody understand all this, you know, what comes to mind, you know, I have this little app on my phone.
Yes.
It's, you know, for Weight Watchers, because mm-hmm. it's helped me lose a whole bunch of weight. And it makes it real simple, you know. It does all this conversion stuff and tells me what I can and cannot do. Do they have something like this for diabetes?
There's lots of those for diabetes, yes.
Because I think if I was in this situation, I would need that.
Yes, that's fine. You can use some apps for your phone. You want to go to accredited websites like the American Diabetes Association or Association of Diabetes Educators. So you want to find something that's credited and to use to get you on track.
So I now know that, you know, in this example, pre-diabetes, I'm going to have to watch my diet.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't watch my diet mm-hmm. and I go out and have this Christmas splurge and say, the heck with what you just said, I'm going to have a little bit of everything, am I going to notice, you know, I'm going waha, or my vision's going to get blurred, or...
You might have more symptoms because your sugars have gone up because of that splurge meal. But if you get back on track, you know, the next day, it should come down.
But it's that repeated not paying attention to what you're told that could lead to some organ failure.
To becoming diabetic, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So do you find that most who are pre-diabetic are listening to what you're saying and are following the routine, or they're just going in one ear and out the other?
Majority of them do follow, because they've seen maybe their parents or someone on insulin. They know they don't want to go that route, so they'll try to prevent it as much as possible.
Right. And when you think about the climate they're in right now with this pandemic going on, because you are in this situation, you would, I guess, be categorized as being more susceptible to catching something like the COVID, is that correct?
Correct, yes. Oh, they are at higher risk.
Oh, yeah. So, well, we're on that topic. When the vaccine is available to the general public, would a diabetic patient be able to take it?
Yes.
They will?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So, this is just the pre-diabetic. But we didn't talk at all about the exercise routine.
Exercise. So exercise, any type of exercise you do, adding more of movement throughout your day, that helps lower blood sugars.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you have to be a marathon runner.
No, of course not. Right. I mean, even if you have back problems or get short of breath very easily, even if you sit in a chair and do some chair exercises with your arms or legs, that's going to help. Any extra movement you can do, that's going to help.
Get out and walk.
Yes.
Put those sneakers on and go.
Yes. Very helpful.
Cost nothing.
No, that's right.
You just go walk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. All right, when we come back from our mid-program break, we're going to get into the more serious stuff, which is those who are type 2 diabetes and what have you. As we continue our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Of course, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. And we're going to tell everybody how it's done. It's a magical formula, you know. At the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Want it? Buy it with a credit card from Founders Federal Credit Union. With low rates, no annual fee, and various card options, you can't go wrong. And keeping up with your card activity has never been easier. Simply open Founders online or the Founders app. Visit foundersfcu.com/visa for more information and to apply for a Founders credit card today. Not a Founders member? Visit Relax, joinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Jared Road across from Winthrop. Shay Hoffman is with us today from Piedmont Medical Center. She is their diabetes educator, and obviously they would not designate somebody to do what you do if diabetes was not a big issue here in our own community.
Very true.
Which it is across the country.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ignore it. You absolutely cannot ignore it. So if you're lucky and you are told you are in a pre-diabetic stage, you, yourself, and I can take care of it.
Yes.
I mean, you can take care of it just by these things that you enumerated before we took the break.
Yes.
Watching what you eat, doing some reasonable amount of exercise, but it is called a lifestyle change, and that is not easy.
No.
It is not easy.
No, it's very challenging.
Very challenging, but when you consider the alternative, which is what we're going to get into the next step, which is what's the next step from pre-diabetic to stage one?
To type two.
Type two.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, well, there goes the pen. So type two, what changes then?
So whenever you are diagnosed as type 2, then comes medications. Ugh. So you still got to do the lifestyle changes because that's going to help. But medications can range from oral pills to injectables to insulin, just depending on how bad your numbers are. But again, the more you can do that lifestyle change, the better off your numbers are going to be, and we're going to decrease those complications. Now, there are some people that would be able to get their numbers low enough where they wouldn't have to take the medications anymore.
So there is a way out of this.
Yes, for type 2s, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you take a look at the universe of people who are in this diabetic category, what percentage of them would be the type 2? Is that the most Is that the largest group?
Yes, it's the most common. It's the most common because you have insulin resistance. This is the more the hereditary type. And so the pre-diabetes can lead to type 2. The gestational diabetes can lead to type 2. So, these modifications that you do, hopefully you'll be able to get off the medications and just control it with that diet and exercise. But whenever you take the diet and exercise away and go back to old habits, of course, those numbers are going to start rising again.
Shoo-wee. So when you, pills, I mean, somebody would write you a prescription. And
yes.
You'd have to pop them, whatever, once or twice.
Once or twice a day. Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. Hopefully that would work.
Yes.
But if it doesn't work, that's when you move into the injections?
Injectables. So,
injectables.
Yes, so these are medications that work like the pills, but you inject them into your skin instead of taking them orally.
You give yourself a shot?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes.
How hard is that?
Not bad.
Not bad. Jeez. And you... Is that like something you have to do once a day, twice a day, what?
Sometimes once a day, twice a day, sometimes once a week. There's lots of different medications for diabetes out there, and they're adding more and more to the market every day.
So this, again, is every person is different.
Yes. Everybody's diabetes is different. And then if that doesn't work and your sugars still keep rising, then you would have to switch to insulins. And that could be from one shot a day to about 5 or 6 shots a day.
And the insulin does what?
So the insulin moves your sugars from your bloodstream into your cells to be burned for that energy. So if your pancreas isn't producing that insulin, that's what we made a synthetic insulin to give to do that for you.
God dang. Whew. I almost shudder to think about type 1.
Yes.
Which is that the worst?
There's no real worst. It's just about how you control it. But type 1 is where their pancreas does not produce any insulin at all. They will have to be on insulin for the rest of their lives. So they're going to be on 4 to 6 shots a day, pricking their finger at least 4 times a day. If they get sick, sometimes they can end up in the hospital. It can become very complicated. But, you know, we try to mimic with that insulin what your pancreas normally does. So your pancreas gives you a little bit of insulin throughout the day. Anytime you eat, it gives you more insulin. So that's what we're trying to mimic with the amount of injections that they have to take.
Yikes. Plus lifestyle changes.
Correct.
That is not the Christmas gift you want under the tree.
No.
And is that the smaller percentage of people who are diabetic are in this category?
Yes.
That's
good. So the type 2 is most prevalent.
So could you, I mean, if you were a type 1 diabetic, is there a chance that you could roll back to type 2?
No.
You're done.
Yes, because their pancreas, what happens is that their immune system destroys the beta cells in their pancreas, so their pancreas doesn't produce anything at all. So they have to take synthetic insulins to control their blood sugars or else they are going to die.
So with all the world of technology that's going on out there today and how we transplant organs left and right, do they do a thing like a pancreatic transplant that could solve this problem?
It could. But again, you have to qualify for that, and that's you know, long process.
It's a long process.
But, you know, technology has advanced so much to where instead of injecting your insulins, you're on the insulin pump where it gives you insulin 24/7. They have continuous glucose monitors that checks your sugar every 5 minutes for you instead of you having to prick your own finger. Technology has advanced drastically in the diabetic world.
Well, that's good news. Yeah. I just wonder what it's like when somebody walks into your office and they've been through all the screenings and what have you, and you got to tell them that they're diabetic. Do they lose it? Do they?
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they, you know, there could be a period of denial. There could be a period of frustration. But the more education that they can get, the more that they can self-manage it, the better off they're going to be in the long run, and they're decreasing the risk of complications. So, yes, I have met resistance before, but, you know, you try to work with each patient. Each patient's going to respond to it differently. And then you have others that are, you know, I'm going to go ahead and get everything done. I'm going to learn as much as I can. I'm going to control this. It's not going to control me.
So it Piedmont Medical Center, since you're the diabetic person, you're the head of this, you're meeting with all the hospital's diabetic patients at one time or another just to keep track of them and see how they're doing?
Yes, so I receive consults from the physicians about the inpatients, and I will go to their rooms and go see them, teach them how to do the insulin, how to check their blood sugars, go over exercise and nutrition, give them some materials to take home. With COVID, we can't do any outpatient programs right now. And we just started back our support group, but we're doing it virtual now. So if you're interested in joining that, you just contact me and we'll get you set up with it.
So do you interface at all with those who are in this pre-diabetic category who would not be in the hospital?
Yes.
I mean, you're seeing them routinely as well?
Yes. So, I mean, so people come into the hospital, they might come in for something else, and then they're diagnosed as pre-diabetes while they're there.
Yeah.
And so we talk about the lifestyle changes and checking their sugars if they have symptoms.
See this guy over here, this is Dr. Scott Oliver. He's an optometrist, and we have just recently done a program about diabetics and impacts on the eyes. The whole thing, I mean, as you pointed out at the beginning of the show, this is not something to be messed around with, because it can start affecting your eyesight, it can start affecting your heart, it can start affecting, it could kill you.
It could, because it affects everything. And so, you know, with the eyes, it you have tiny little blood vessels in the back of your eye. And whenever you have diabetes and it's uncontrolled, they start bulging and breaking. And so, you know, it can affect your eyesight. It can affect your hearing. People with diabetes are sometimes at high risk for cavities because they have a lot drier mouth and they're higher sugars in their blood. Heart attacks, amputations, strokes, dialysis, kidney problems. It can lead to lots of things, lots of bad things.
So if somebody is at all suspicious about what may be going on that they can't explain, I guess you're going to say you just need to go get a checkup with your doctor.
Yes, absolutely. Get screened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a doctor, I'm sure Piedmont can help you out find one.
We'll help you find one. If you need some education, I'd be happy to go over stuff with you.
Well, I was going to say, is part of the service that you offer as a diabetic counselor, do you go out at all? When you can go out, obviously we're not doing it now, but I mean, do you go out to whatever, Rotary clubs and Kiwanis clubs and speak about this?
Yes, so whenever we're not in COVID pandemic, I do speak. I go to health fairs. I go to screenings. We normally have a diabetes fair once a year at the hospital. I just try to get the word out there and the education out there as much as possible.
So the Piedmont website, can they find info about what we've been talking about there?
Yes, absolutely. There's lots of information on the website.
All right. So PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Correct.
/diabetes, I guess.
Yes.
Something like that. That'll find it. All right. So what have we left out of this? I mean, it appears that...
We haven't even scratched the surface.
Well, scratching enough for me, I can tell you that. But we can handle all the treatments for this right here,
mm-hmm.
right here at home.
Yes.
At Piedmont. So if you're in this situation, you got somebody, a neighbor here, that can help you get through this.
Absolutely.
And I guess the most encouraging thing is that if you follow the advice, you can lead a normal lifestyle.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
You can go out and ride your bike. You can go play racquetball.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to work.
Yes.
You can, you know, enjoy a normal family life.
Absolutely.
Right. But you got to pay attention to this.
Yes.
As I always say, you don't want to be stupid. All right.
No.
Well, Shay, thank you so much for being with us today on I was going to say Doctor's House, but no, on Straight Talk. It's been very interesting. Very interesting and certainly knowledgeable. Don't mess around with this thing called diabetes. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, you see, he's got his cue. He's coming over here now. We are now going to be led into the great world of what goes on here at Substation 2 by none other than the doctor, Scott Oliver. At the count of three, let's tell everybody what we do. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful, rainy, miserable, wet afternoon. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.